two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right. So we've been going through this message series on why be equipped, because we are an equipping church. And we're basically almost done with this series. We're going to be rounding it out over the next week or two. And the Lord kind of said he wants it done with kind of getting back to the things we are equipped in, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many of us here know something about them. Others, this may be new to you. You might have read them, passed them, as you've just been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. But we want to kind of get into a little about them. But we may not get to them today. Because let me warn you, what the Holy Spirit already said is we're just going to talk. Well, I'm going to talk, or he's going to talk through my mouth. And we can stop at any time, and we're going to let him do some work. Okay? So if you're looking for a sermon with 3 points and a prayer, this is not the time. This will not happen over the next week or two. So Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. We touched on that a couple weeks ago. Grace gifts were given in the grace of God, in the grace that Christ brought to us. And they were given to the measure. I believe part of that measure, it's a twofold thing. One, it's the measure of how much Jesus wants to give, how much God wants to give the grace gifts to you. But the other thing is my capacity to receive and my willingness to receive, my willingness to position myself to a place, in a place to receive in order to pour out. See, everything in the kingdom of heaven is received. Nothing is taken. But it's received to be given away. And the funny thing is, the more you give away, the more you're able to receive. Okay? It's an awesome concept that sometimes does not make sense to the natural mind. But as we pour out, as we receive and pour out, God has more room to keep pouring in. And he wants to keep pouring in. So each one, it doesn't say to some of you. See, part of the problem with the early church in the book of Acts, and I scratched my head, and I still do to this day, when for the first time 3.5 years ago I read that, and it really hit me what that was saying. When in the book of Acts, in chapter 2 through 4, all these amazing things are happening in the church, in the early church in Jerusalem. Signs, wonders, miracles. The people are coming together. They're breaking bread together. They're doing awesome things together for the kingdom of God. Breakthroughs are happening left and right. And what do some of them say? Well, we like what the Holy Spirit's doing, but we're a little afraid of it. We're not sure it's for us, so it's good for you guys. We'll do the other stuff. And they actually, some, according to Scripture, kind of said no to opening themselves up to the fullness of what God wants to pour out. And now that, you know, after last few years realizing this, it makes me go, wow, what more could have happened if everyone in that church said, yes, Lord, more. Yeah. I want more of you. I mean, we know they changed the world. This is why we're here today. But how much more impact would it have had if everyone said, yes, Lord? How much more impact could we have today if each one of us said yes to the things God wants to give us? And when we say yes, what we're saying is, no, we're not only receiving it, but we're going to do something with it, Lord. When you're giving me a prophetic word, when you're giving me something to say to somebody, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be scared and go, is this really from God? Is this, you know, how would this look? I'm uncomfortable doing this. I don't need to be doing this. When God says, pray for that person's need to be healed, and you go, oh, well, what if it doesn't happen? I don't know. It's not our job. Our job is to do it. Our job is to do it and let God worry about the outcome. Okay? That's our job, is to let God do it. Our job is to just say, yes, Lord. That's it. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'll do whatever it takes. In Romans 12, verse 6 through 8, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace, some are stronger in some areas than other people. Some will have more of weightier on certain gifts and things that God gives you, more skills, talents, abilities, anointings than others, but you are going to have something in a different area that is given to us. Let us each use them. This is the second time we read that to each one of us, means every single one of us has the potential to receive everything God has for us. Okay? So he says here, having then these different gifts, according to what God has poured out, let every single one of us, he's prophetically speaking, assuming each one of us wants this, knowing each one of us has the capacity to host his presence and move in his presence. Every one of us has that capacity. We were built with everything. Imagine a computer, because most of our computers or our phones or our tablets have so much memory, right? That's why we have to buy extra things in the cloud. Imagine if every single computer or phone or tablet you have has unlimited capacity to absorb unlimited amounts of music, of pictures, of data, or whatever. It never ends. It just keeps expanding. See, we were created like that. We were created with the capacity that the more we are willing to receive and positioning ourselves to receive, the more we can receive. Okay? So this is what he's given us. He built us this way. He didn't shortchange us. He didn't say, Mike, I'm creating you with only 64 gigabits of memory. And that's it. Beyond that, I'm going to have to attach something to you. He didn't say that. Or beyond that, I'm going to let somebody else do the job. You only go so far and then I'll let somebody else do the job. That's not what he said. Let each one of us use them. Use them. There are certain things that the Bible says that we just have to take for word, okay? When God says all, he means all. When he says let each one of us use them, he's saying, go ahead and use it. Do something with what I have touched you with what I've given you, what I am doing on a day-to-day basis with your life. And now he gives some examples, and they're not limited to this only. These are examples. He says, use them. If you prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, if you have prophecy as God, the prophetic gift, as God gives you words to speak and edify, use them. Don't go overboard and add your stuff to them. That's why he says proportion to our faith. Okay? So use only what God has given you. Or ministry, let us eat in our own ministering. Do it. If he's given you something to minister with, minister it. If he's given you a ability to minister in hospitality, use your hospitality. If he's given you a ministry to be able to talk people off ledge, use that. If he's given you these things, use it. Given you the gift of healing, use it. He who teaches, let him teach. He exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives, give. Giving, some people are just natural givers, right? They have the gift of giving, we call it. It's where their heart's positioned to receive, to give. And they want to give. So that's you, give. Give what God is giving you. He who leads with diligence. If you're a leader, if you've been given the gift of being able to be a leader, why aren't you doing it? Do it. Lead people. And we know, and there are people in this church, we know whether they're youth or adults who are natural people who draw people in. They don't even have to try to lead, but people want to follow them. Just something God created and built in them. So use it for what God wants you to use it for. Use it for how he wants you to lead. Use it to lead people where they need to go for his kingdom. He who shows mercy, show it with cheerfulness. And these are just examples. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, you know, people, just a nutshell of that first book, you know, people were so scared and freaking out that that Jesus has returned and forgotten them behind. Paul writes them, hey, he hasn't returned. Don't listen to this nonsense. Quit selling your house and quit selling your stuff and quit living as if today's the last day on earth. And if you love, keep on loving. If you work, keep on working. If you, whatever you do, keep on doing it as unto God. Keep doing it. Do what God has put before you to do and be faithful in doing it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep doing these things. This is not going to be on PowerPoint, but I want, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 5:8-13. I'll try to read it slow for those that don't have a Bible with in front of them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. To walk means move forward, means act accordingly. It means do the things that as children of light would be do for the Father of light of those children. Do those things, referring back to the things we just talked about. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. As you do them, you're doing them unto the Lord. And you're recognizing what honors God and what doesn't. And I want to touch on that in a second. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. In other words, light reveals what's hidden in the darkness, and what's in the darkness is not of God, in a nutshell. But I want to look at something here. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do we find out if something is right or wrong? We do it. We do it. We step into it into faith. But this is the part I love. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. I'm going to say something right now that's a little different. Because most of us look at that and say, well, unfruitful works of darkness is I'm not going to the bars anymore. I'm not drinking. I'm not, you know, having adulterous relationships. I'm not doing this. You know, we think of those things. But have we thought about laziness? Have we thought about being given a task to do by God and choosing not to do it as an unfruitful work of darkness? Think about that. Now, I want you to understand something. I want to differentiate this. There are seasons of rest. And at times, we need those seasons of rest. And those seasons of rest are to refresh ourselves and be renewed by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God for the purpose of getting back to work. Okay? So there are seasons of rest. But I can guarantee you here, every parent of every kid, if their child has been sitting on the couch playing video games or watching TV for a whole week, and they say, go mow the lawn, and say, well, I'm relaxing, you want to slap them upside their head because they've been resting all week. You don't need rest from doing nothing. Okay? You don't need rest from doing nothing. You rest because you have poured out and are positioning yourself in a place to receive refreshing water from the Lord, so that then you, when the time is right, you get back into what God wants you to do. So this is different than rest, okay, in the Lord. He's saying, finding out what is acceptable, what does God have for me? What does God want me to do? What does he desire in my life? What does he put right in front of me that my job is to step into in faith and have no fellowship with anything that's going to take you away? In other words, don't have any type of connection or relationship with anything that's going to take you away from what God has for you, because that's the job the enemy wants to do. He does not want victories for the kingdom of God. He does not want you to succeed, because the more you and I succeed, the more I get confident in preaching, the more I get confident in praying for healing, the more I get confident at interceding in prayer, the more I get bold in telling people about Jesus, the more I get bold in praising him, I begin to find my place that much clearer in the kingdom. See, the more I do the things God has built in me to do and is pouring in me to do, the more I find my identity in him and my place in his kingdom. If you're a pauper all your life, or if you're somebody who's never been in a position of having, and now all of a sudden you are, you don't carry yourself the same way. You have to learn by doing the little things and learning what it means. It doesn't mean bossing people around. It means learning how to carry yourself. It means learning how to dress as one, another step. Another step is learning how to eat at the table. Another step is learning how to walk with your back straight and project confidence. Well, the more we do those things, the more they become a part of who we are at that point. So the more I do these things in the kingdom of God that God has called me to do, the more I'm self-aware in Christ, my position and place at the right hand of God with Christ, co-heir with Christ. The more I do these things, I recognize the power that God has placed in me, the anointing that is on me. I was reading today in the book of Samuel when the prophet Samuel anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. And it brought back to memory, reading it before, how it was an amazing thing. Here you go. Saul is anointed king over Israel. Then Saul goes back to the farm. Then he was publicly crowned king of Israel. What does he do? Go back to work in his dad's farm again. The king of a nation is baling hay and cleaning up cow poop. Okay? Is that how a king is supposed to act? He started to act like a king when he put himself in the position of leadership. When the Philistines attacked, he never led people before. He said, okay, let's round up the people. He stepped into it and started doing it. He learned on the job what his place was. This is before, obviously, before the years later when he began to draw further away from God. But at this point, he was growing in the Lord, and he was finding his place and who he is, who he was meant to be. But he had to do it. He could not do it tending sheep over here. Now people were looking at him for leadership, and he found his place, and he got more and more comfortable in that place the more you do it. If he would have said, no, you guys go ahead and figure it out. I'm just going to stay here and bale hay. He would be involved in the unfruitful works of darkness. Because simply put, rejecting what God has gives victory to the enemy. Every time God says go and we say no, the enemy gets a point in our lives. And the fact is, it holds us back from who we are supposed to be. Darkness gains victory, but that's not what we want here. We are children of light. We will walk in light. We will walk in the authority that light has, because light exposes the dark. It reveals the truth. And we overcome the dark in the light of our Father shining through us. It's His power flowing through us. It's Him doing these things through us. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 10. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, how these gifts are revealed, how they are revealed here in the natural world, how you see them, hear them, feel them, know them here on earth, is given to each one for the profit of all. It's meant for all of us. That's why we receive to pour out. We're not meant to hold on to it. We're not meant to keep it. We're meant to give it away, to use it for His kingdom. And it's meant for the profit of all. That means the edification of all. That means, what does edification mean? Let's talk for a second about what does edification mean in the Bible. When we talk about exhorting, encouraging, edifying, profit of all, the foundation of it is drawing people closer to the heart of God and what God has for them. That's the simplest definition. For the profit of all, what I do in the name of Jesus is to bring all to you closer to the heart of God and your place in His kingdom. My job is to encourage you towards that. So these gifts are meant, these things that God gives us are meant to build you up into who you are supposed to be in the position you need to be with God that He wants you in. That's it. It's for the profit of all. So we all get into that position. Sometimes that happens in a large setting like this. Other times it happens over coffee. Other times, it's going to happen in prayer meetings or Bible studies. That's why we encourage you to get together. But it doesn't happen when you're alone. It happens when you are with one another, sharpening each other. Nobody's going to profit if I'm sitting in the living room. Nobody's going to profit if I'm getting all these amazing things God wants to pour in me. He's given me prophetic words. He's given me visions. He's given me dreams. And I'm just sitting in my living room. Nobody's being blessed by it. Nobody's growing, including myself, because I'm not stepping out in faith. One of the things God has taught me in the last 6 weeks, it's very, very interesting, is I might get a prophetic word, or I might get something for somebody. And my thing was, well, Lord, is this really You? I don't want to make You look bad. Is this really You? Because I just want You to be glorified. I don't want to say something and blah, blah, blah. And what the revelation that came to me was, every time those thoughts enter my mind, it's because I'm supposed to speak it out. It's because of that reason. The enemy is trying to instill doubt in me in these things. So that's now what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord has turned for good, because now that's my check. Every time that thought comes, there's no doubt what I'm doing next. That's what God has for us. That's what God wants to do with us. Profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another is the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. Next week, we're going to actually go down through these one by one. But before we do that, I want to say this. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, most of you know already what I'm going to say because we always do this together. Okay? It's not going to be on PowerPoint. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Why this is so important, the fruit of the Spirit go hand in hand with the gifts of the Spirit. You cannot do one without the other and honor God. Let's be honest. Truly honor God, you can't have one without the other. Because if I am not using the things God has given me with love, with joy, I'm not effectively using them to their fullest potential. And God is honored when we give Him our very best, no matter what our best looks like that moment. Okay? It's not your skill or ability, it's your willingness to give God whatever it is you have that He's given you. Okay? To give Him your very best in that moment. That's what God expects. My wife taught me this and brought this light, you know, that God never heals character. God will heal everything else, but He can't heal character. Character is something I have to work on. And character is wrapped into the fruit. It's wrapped into being able to love, to have joy, to have peace, to be in long-suffering, in patience, to have kindness, to have goodness fill me, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. These are things I have to work on. I have to exercise and train. And these are disciplines I need to discipline myself with so that in those moments when the Holy Spirit says, here you go, I've given you a word to share and edify somebody, I'm going to do it without hindrances, without obstacles, and doing it in these nine fruit. They're one fruit. It's not several fruit. It's one fruit. These are elements of the same fruit. But when I do it in these things, then the flowing of the presence of God is unhindered. And it'll be pure as pure can possibly be. Because I'm not getting in God's way. I'm not letting emotions, feelings, or thoughts, or presuppositions, or attitudes get in the way. I am going to do, whether it's laying on of hands, to the richest, to the poorest, to the smelliest, to the sweetest smelling, to the ugliest, to the prettiest. Okay? It does not matter, because what I see, feel, and know is that that's a beautiful child of God, and God's about to do something awesome in their life. My heart is pure. My heart is a humble heart and a contrite spirit. God never denies. That's His word. And that's where my heart would be. That opens up the door. And what I feel like we need to do right now is I feel like Holy Spirit's saying to just kind of pray towards that as a body. So Father, Holy Spirit, come. Position yourselves right now in a receiving position. For those that are new, it just simply means, if it means opening up your hand like you're going to receive something, go right ahead. But it more than anything else means open up your heart and your mind to what God might be speaking to you, because I believe God's going to be speaking to us right now. So Holy Spirit, just bring into revelation right now. And Holy Spirit, just ask you to move. Just ask you to move. Ask you to flow. Yeah. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We cast out all fear in the name of Jesus. I want you to say this to yourself because you have to cast this out. I cast out all fears in the name of Jesus. I remove all presuppositions. I remove everything I thought I knew. And I open my heart up to what God knows to be true. I receive everything you have for me right now, Lord. And I am willing to pour it out for you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are being set free to receive from those things right now. You're being set free to receive. Because so many of us in this room have so many amazing things on you and on them. So many gifts, talents, anointings, abilities, things you've been blessed with. So I want to just, in the name of Jesus, release that's within you. Just release it for the profit of all, as your word declares, Lord. We just release it right now. Release it for your glory, for your kingdom, God. We just release it. Yeah, Lord. And all the things that we thought we knew, what the enemy put in our minds, have been washed away by your word right now. By your word this morning. You are renewing our minds, Lord, by your word this morning. And your spirit. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are sanctified and set apart for his purpose. As a body, as a whole, but each one his own purpose. Thank you, Lord. Would you just all stand, but stay in that receiving position, and just let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to you. Just let him minister to you right now.